Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Tyson Alger covers the Oregon Ducks for The Athletic in lovely Eugene, Oregon, where on Saturday there's a huge game. I think one of the best games of the day. Stanford overrated and Oregon and Mario Cristobal, the Ducks looking like their old selves again. Tyson, thanks for coming on the bench. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
So, my pleasure. So how do you like Mario Cristobal? I've seen him coach, obviously, in Florida and, most recently at FIU. How do they like him in Eugene?
They really like him, especially after the way that Willie Taggart left Eugene. You know, a guy that came here kind of for a year as a mercenary and ditched town as soon as possible. By all accounts so far, Chris Paul's a guy that loves it here in Eugene, and he's really transforming this Oregon team from kind of that flashy, fast-paced offense type of team that you saw in kind of the late 2000s and the earlier part of this decade. And turning them more into a team that resembles the team that they're going to be facing in Stanford, a physical team that's kind of built on power running and heavy tight end sets and all that stuff. So it's a bit of a transformation here in Oregon because they're used to kind of like the flash and pizzazz. But I think people are definitely on board with the Chris Paul era as it's going right now. I mean, it's easy to support a new head coach when you're 3-0 and college game day is coming to town, but it definitely gets real for the Ducks going forward here beginning on Saturday.
Yeah, so tell me about how do people, like, so Taggart left and ran with his tail tucked back to Tallahassee, where I'm sure the Duck fans are enjoying watching them melt down. They could barely beat Samford. And then, I mean, they have literally been getting their ass handed to them. I mean, the Cuse game was embarrassing. So they went up to Syracuse and looked just atrocious. That must make Duck fans pretty happy. What was the fallout of that guy being there for 1 year and then bolting like that? They must think he's a piece of nothing.
Yeah, he's not highly regarded in this area. And it's kind of funny because, I mean, ultimately, Oregon, I do think, is better because of the year that Taggart was here. He really rejuvenated them on the recruiting trail, got rid of some of the kind of overlapping bad blood that ended in the Mark Helfrich era. So, I mean, I think Oregon was better for that. But Oregon and Oregon fans consider themselves to be, you know, one of the preeminent programs in the country. And they just didn't like the concept of a guy with a career losing record coming into Eugene, using it as a stepping stone and taking off. And so, you know, the program was in disarray for about that 2 week period when it was the will he, won't he, kind of leading into him leaving and Mario Cristobal being promoted before the Las Vegas Bowl. But so that was a bit of a mess. But since then, they've really kind of, reconstructed. And I know Oregon fans have been enjoying this 3-0 start, but it's Willie Taggart's start in Tallahassee has certainly not been a quiet topic around here. I think Oregon fans are really getting a kind of a kick out of that, whether or not Taggart actually helps here or not.
So I had San Jose State in the 41 points or whatever on Saturday, and they covered easily. So you've been, you've been beating crappy teams, Bowling Green, Portland State, and San Jose State. So will the real Oregon Ducks show up on Saturday at Outson Stadium against Stanford, or are we going to see a team that's just a poser because they've been playing all these crappy teams?
Right. That's a good question because it's really hard to gauge just how much different they are this year from last year just because they haven't played anybody worth mentioning. I mean, I think the combined record of the three teams that they played was, I think they won three games a season ago. So there's just no, they've had a talent advantage, a personnel advantage. And they did look a little sloppy in that win over San Jose State. They only averaged 2.7 yards per carry. And Justin Herbert, who is their potential first round draft pick. He was off and all sorts of things. So it's that was a little concerning if you're an Oregon fan. But then again, if you are playing three cupcakes in a row, at some point, you know, you would expect these guys to lose a little bit of focus. But, you know, this is a Stanford team that I do think is a little bit overvalued at their current number nine position or whatever they are. That win over USC looked a lot better that day than it did a week later, because USC has looked really bad since then. But Stanford's played at least two decent games so far, and Oregon hasn't played any. So you're going to find out real quick in that first quarter whether or not the Ducks are ready for this game or not.
Yeah, I think Stanford is ready for the game based on who they've played already. They've already shown they can play at a high level. Oregon hasn't done that yet. When you struggle with San Jose State, like one of the worst, I mean, I hate to say it, but they're like one of the worst football programs ever. And I mean, that's just all there is to it. Tell me how you think Johnny Johnson III is playing. He seems to be catching a lot of passes and scoring touchdowns for him. He had a couple of them against the Spartans.
Yeah, he's been one of the one receivers that Herbert's actually been able to develop a little bit of chemistry with. That was the big question for this team coming into the season, where you have an absolute top-rate quarterback, but you didn't know who was going to catch his passes. And they did have a graduate transfer coming over from Wake Forest, Tabari Hines, that they expected a lot out of, but he was banged up in camp. And so Johnson, who kind of came onto the scene last year and had his ups and downs, he's really kind of developed as Herbert's main guy so far. But overall, this receiving core, they've dropped a lot of passes. In that first half against San Jose State, I think out of the eight passes Herbert completed, only one of them was to a wide receiver. Right now, he's a little bit more comfortable with his tight ends and checking down to running backs than some of those receivers. But Johnson stepped up later in that game, and he's one of Oregon's only receivers that has any sort of size. I mean, Oregon's running out a bunch of 5'8", 5'9" guys out there. Johnson, I think, is 6'1", 6'2". He's fast, talented. If that connection between him and Herbert flourishes the rest of the way, that's going to be a really big development for Oregon going forward.
So I don't want to sound like a bummer or anything, because I like the Ducks, and I always have, and I love being on in Eugene. Great fans, great program, great stadium. The whole thing is just kick-ass. I'm a huge fan. But I got to tell you, Justin Herbert, for me, you know, he's supposed to be a top first-round draft pick, right, and a high pick. From what I'm hearing, he's one of the guys the NFL teams are all looking at. And I got to tell you that against those three cupcakes, 56% of his passes, to me, is anemic. Now, I know he's got 12 TDs. I'll give him that, and God bless him, and the four picks. And it's really not that big of a deal. But do you really think that a guy that's that good, he's supposed to be that good, that he can't do better than 56% against a bunch of hacks? I mean, honestly, he should be throwing 70% of his passes, in my opinion, when you're playing crappy teams.
I really agree with you there. I do think it's more indicative of his receiver than Herbert's overall talent. If you go back to that Bowling Green game, Herbert's first three or four passes were all dropped. He hit guys right in the numbers, and guys just couldn't hang on to it. His first big pass he did hit was a 4th and 14, where he dropped it over three defender shoulders and right into the arms of Jalen Redd in the end zone. So he has been inconsistent at times. He does force some throws, but I wouldn't go out of the way to compare it to what Josh Allen was working with at Wyoming last year. But right now he just hasn't had any guys helping him out, and that even goes down to throws that maybe they're not the best throws in the world, but you would expect guys to make those catches. I mean, the last time Oregon had a quarterback, you know, at this level, you can go back to Vernon Adams or Marcus Mariota. They had receivers that, you know, maybe not nationally known, but were able to make tough catches like that. And that's something that we still need to see Oregon do going forward.
So let me ask you, in that conference, because I watch a lot of the games, we all know Stanford and Washington, pretty obvious, are the two best teams. And, you know, I'm interested in seeing what Washington State does at the Coliseum on Friday night against USC. USC got their ass beat last week, and I'm starting, you know, to wonder about them and, like, how much time JT Daniels is going to need to, you know, make them winners again, to be honest with you. When you look at the conference and you saw what Washington did, I took Washington last week. It was my number one play in all of college football to take them to Rice-Eccles in a packed house in Salt Lake and win that game. I thought it was a tough ordeal. They got it done. They beat them, whatever, 20, 21-7, whatever it was. But do you feel that there's anything – in the conference that I'm missing, or is it Stanford and Washington? And frankly, I think Washington's the best team. And I looked at the playoff predictors and chances of, like, alleged computer chances of making it to the playoff, and they're still top five in the nation for a shot at making the playoff, Washington.
Yeah, I think Washington is far and away the class of this conference right now. You know, I do like, you know, the start that Stanford got, and obviously we don't quite know what we have with Oregon yet, but you know, the Pac-12 is very north heavy right now with those three teams, and the South is frankly just a bit of a mess. I mean, USC was supposed to be the favorite down there, and they can't run the football right now, and the quarterback's having issues. going into last week, Arizona State was the talk of the conference, and then they end up losing on that crazy last play, you know, Pac-12 after dark style. But I wouldn't expect them to be able to sustain what they've been able to do. And then, you know, the conference's other premier player down at Arizona, the quarterback there, I mean, he's all of a sudden forgot how to run the football, and that was what he was so electric at. So I think Washington's in a completely different tier than anyone else. I think Oregon and Stanford are next. And, you know, in the South, I mean, if Utah ever could develop an offense, they'd be a great team. But they're always that team that seems like they're like one quarterback or one running back away from being in contention. But that's been about 10 years now for them in this Pac-12.
So you have five road games the rest of the way. And to me, that's brutal. I mean, that's like your whole season. You're going to play Washington at home on October 13th, but then you have Cal Road, Washington State, Arizona, Utah, and Oregon State all road. And the only game to me that I think of that entire slot that looks easy to me is the Beaver game at the end of the season, November 23rd. Would you disagree that that's a brutal schedule for them?
I do think that is a tough road slate, but I mean, at the same time, them being able to get Washington at home, being able to get UCLA at home and USC at home helps them a lot. But Rice-Eccles is an awfully tough place to play, especially, you know, especially if that ends up being a night game. Weird things happen late night against Cal, and that game's kicking off at 7:35 Western time here. You know, the last time I think that went into double overtime, and Justin Herbert threw a game-ending interception in that one. The Palouse is hard to go play on. I mean, it's certainly a schedule that doesn't help them out in terms of like the ease of those road games. But being able to get Washington and UCLA and those teams at home, I think has been a big boon. But I mean, talking schedule overall, I mean, Oregon has no room to complain after the three games that it's played so far this season.
So they got lucky. They don't have to play USC at home or road, and they don't have to play Colorado, so that's a benefit to them. Let me ask you, if you look at this team and you see them getting one as a home dog on Saturday against Stanford, do you think they win the game and get it done, or do you say they lose?
I think they're taking this one. I haven't been all that impressed with Stanford's offense, and I do think if things are clicking for Oregon, I just don't know if Stanford has the dogs to compete with them if the game gets into the 20s or 30s there. So don't want to be a homer here, but I do think Oregon is going to be able to put up that many points against them, and I don't think Stanford can hang.
All right, well, that should be an awesome game at Outson on Saturday. We'll catch up with you later in the season and see how the Ducks are doing. My man Tyson Alger, thanks for coming on the bench from The Athletic out in Eugene.
Hey, thanks, man. I really appreciate it.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.